I mentioned at the beginning the three people among our loved ones who have been called home. We know, of course, Sister Barbara, her remains are there below the tabernacle as if she's prostrate in adoration. Then we have here before the altar, Dr. Perilla, and you see his smiling face in that big photograph. Maybe I should explain why he's here. Last night we had a funeral mass for him, and the family is praying the novena for him, and the ninth day of the novena is today. So they asked if they could keep his remains here for this mass as well, and we said, of course. So he's a good friend of our community. So last night, a funeral mass, and then today, this is the ninth day of the novena. Well, the third person is my own mother. She died on July 28th last year. Ito ang babang luksa ng nanay ko. And I, of course, offer this mass for her. It's a little hard for me to think of this as the babang luksa because in my experience, she died on the 29th. It was the evening of the 28th in the United States, but it was the morning of the 29th here. So maybe tomorrow I'll reflect a little bit more on that experience. I do remember this on the 28th. I was doing everything I possibly could to get a flight to the States, and my mother was still alive. As far as it was the 27th there, so yes, she was still alive. But wow. It was very hard to get any flights. Most flights had been canceled, middle of the lockdown. It was even a little bit uncertain how to get to the airport from here because you couldn't just drive from here to the airport without passes and all these. Anyway, I got to the airport, but in the checkout line, they told me I couldn't get on the plane because I didn't have requirements. So that was on the 28th as I came back home. And then on the morning of the 29th, I got the news that she had died. Well, I'd like to take our fellowship with these three people and to help us reflect on today's Gospels, today's readings. And I think it goes together pretty well. Today's Gospel is the familiar parables of the treasure buried in the field and the pearl of great price. And then in today's first reading, we hear about how Moses' face was radiant, it was glowing with glory because of his encounter with the Lord. Let's start with these two parables. They're similar. In fact, they teach the same message. They teach us that there is something that is worth more than everything else. Now, it's obviously a parable, even if it wasn't in the chapter 13 of Matthew, which is all parables, and even if Jesus didn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, the kingdom of heaven is like the search for pearls, even if someone just told us the story of someone who found a treasure and sold everything he had to buy the field, we would know it was a symbol because nobody would do that. Nobody would sell everything he had to buy one pearl. It has to be symbolic. Because in this life, if you sell everything you have to buy one thing, well, then what do? What will you eat for breakfast? How will you live if all you have is a pearl? So it can't mean what it sounds like it means. It can't mean some earthly possession. It's symbolic of a heavenly possession. It's not a passing treasure. It's symbolic of a lasting treasure. In both cases, find, go, sell, buy. It's clear. Find, go, sell, buy. The finding looks a little bit different because in the first case, it's as if the man finds the treasure by accident. In the case of the pearl, the merchant is searching for precious pearls. So it's no accident that he finds one. So this finding process, it's good to reflect on because it's true. Sometimes it's as if God breaks into our life completely unexpectedly. We weren't looking for him. His initiative, he just jumped in, like he did with Paul on the road to Damascus. All of a sudden, there he is. Saul, why are you persecuting me? At other times, we are on a diligent search for truth or for the meaning of things, searching for God, where are you? And then, not because we're searching, but because God decides to reveal himself, there he is. Whether it strikes us as being accidental or deliberate, it doesn't matter that much, because it's always God who is revealing himself. It's always God who's making a gift of himself. The treasure wants to be found. God wants us to know him. He wants us to be part of his kingdom. So he does his part. He reveals himself, whether he's buried or whether he's in an oyster or whether we find him in the passing circumstances of life, we find him. But then the responsibility falls on us. Go sell all you have and buy that. God doesn't do that part for us. We have to do it. He offers himself. We have to accept the offer. Accepting the offer is a big project. It's a total, it's an all-consuming work. Nothing else compares. Nothing is of a comparable value. You can't even you can't even put them on the same scale. By comparison to God, there isn't anything else. That's why it's worth it. In fact, it's a joyful adventure to sell everything else. I don't need that stuff anyway. I don't need anything but God. Awareness of having found this treasure gives us perspective on everything else. Now, as I say, it doesn't apply to any earthly treasure, because there's no earthly treasure that's worth everything else. It's always relative. But in the case of God, the kingdom of God, it's absolute. Since everybody is thinking about Heidi Lynn Diaz these days, I think we can learn this lesson from her too. Everybody in the country leapt for joy when she won the gold medal for weightlifting in the Olympics. I don't have to explain it. I think everybody knows her. I was the only one who didn't know how to pronounce her name. So I was out walking this morning. I said, I have to mention this hero of the Philippines in my homily. I don't even know how to pronounce her name. So I just stopped a random person on the street. I said, how do you pronounce that woman's name? The woman immediately knew who I was talking about. I didn't even have to say the Olympics or anything. How do you pronounce that name? Oh, yeah. Heidi Lynn. Heidi Lynn. Now, the reason I bring her up is she won a gold medal. This is one of the highest treasures. It's the highest treasure in the sporting world, and one of the highest treasures in the world of human achievement. And that's why everybody celebrates. First of all, it's the first gold medal for the Philippines in history. And that is an achievement. Well, anyone even getting into the Olympics is an amazing achievement. But to win the gold medal is this superlative achievement. You can't get anything better. And it represents what you might call a buried treasure or a pearl of great price. And people are talking about the countless hours, or in fact years, of sacrifice to get to this point. Years of dedicated training and sacrifice, hardship, focus, selling everything else to get this gold medal. And we all honor her for that. In fact, it seems like every politician and every celebrity wants to be considered her friend now. I think everyone wants to have their picture taken with her. Well, it is, I have to say, it is at least a moment of joy in a time when everybody is really burdened. At least for a few minutes, we don't have to talk about COVID anymore. We don't have to talk about vaccines. We don't have to talk about earthquakes or volcanoes or typhoons. Just talk about the joy of victory. So, and that is beautiful. It's a sign. But it's a sign. It's not the reality. Is Heidi Lin going to be happy forever because she won the gold medal? No. What's she going to do with it? She can't eat it. It doesn't get her home. In fact, I get the impression from the headlines that now people are giving her money and giving her gifts in order to be known as the one who gave her something. Everyone's trying to ride on the bandwagon of Heidi Lin Diaz. But the point is, the gold medal, as great as it is, and I'm not minimizing at all, as great as it is, it's not the greatest thing that we could ever have. It's not. It's a sign of something great. Someone told me, just today in fact, that Heidi Lin, there's a picture of her, I wanted to look it up but I didn't have time, there's a picture of her holding up her gold medal and a miraculous medal. Did you see that? A gold medal and a miraculous medal. As if she's saying, now don't, you know, get the point here. There's more to life than a gold medal. There's eternal life, the miraculous medal, of course, representing the protection and guidance of Our Lady, who does not guide us to earthly treasures. She guides us to the kingdom of God. So good lesson, Heidi Lin. I don't know her at all, but she sounds like a good woman and a hero. Now, this brings me back to the fellowship of the dead. Here we are, a communion of the living and the dead. I mentioned the three people who have died. If we were to ask Sister Barbara, or Dr. Perilla, or my mother, what is of greatest value, what would they say? Money? Possessions? Status? Olympic gold medal? No, none of those things. In fact, they probably don't even think about stuff like that. The treasure that someone who's on the other side can identify is God himself, union with God, communion with God, the joy of being with God. So, since we're praying for these three people, we can ask them to show us what they know. Show us that whatever we think is important here is only of relative importance. That's why it's worth selling everything else to get this pearl of great price. The experience of Moses, who encounters the Lord face to face, teaches us this as well. In this passage, remember, Moses has been up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, so he's being irradiated with divine glory. He doesn't know that his face is glowing until he comes down the mountain and nobody wants to get anywhere near him. That guy, what happened to his face? He looks like he's glowing. Or you might look at those pictures of Heidi Lin. Her face is glowing. When she won the gold medal, you could see the delight, the overwhelming emotion, the achievement, the glory of being the best in the world. You could see her face. You could see it on her face. You could tell she won. I'm sure you've seen those pictures, because I'm not even looking at the news, as soon as I open the internet, I get pictures of Heidi Lin Diaz. I can't avoid them. So I'm sure you have seen those pictures of her smiling face. Moses' face is changed because of his encounter with God. It's an image of what happens when we are in union with God. We are changed by him. We are transformed by him. Again, think of Sister Barbara, Dr. Perilla, my mother on the other side. They are being changed, if they're not fully changed, into images of God. Remember what we heard yesterday. I remember this, the parable of the weeds and the wheat concluded with, the weeds are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. The wheat will shine like the sun in the kingdom of my Father. Shining like the sun is what happens after death. Shining like the sun is what Moses experienced even in this life. His encounter with God was already transforming him even now. Now, St. Paul tells us, when he reflects on this experience of Moses and the veil, he says, well, the reason why Moses put a veil over his face is because it was a fading glory. And that's not what it says in this reading. That's Paul's interpretation. It was a fading glory. Everything in this world is fading glory. Isn't there a brand of clothing called fading glory? Faded glory. Faded glory. Well, maybe that's what's about. In other words, it doesn't matter how great the clothing is, it's going to fade. Everything in this life, even a gold medal, is fading glory. So Moses puts a veil over his face. But when he is in the presence of God, he takes off the veil. Since everybody's wearing a face mask, maybe you can think of this, how much nicer it is to be able to remove the face mask. Moses, the only time he removes his face mask is when he's in the presence of God, because he's receiving the light of glory, the divine life, and it's changing, transforming him. This is what we're made for. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and we are made to be transformed in his image and likeness, to glow with his glory forever. That's what we're made for. Anything that gets us in that, that moves us in that direction, is worth it. It's pay the price. Pearl of great price. Anything that gets in the way of that glory has to be sacrificed, no matter how valuable it is in this world. Sell it all. Throw it all away. St. Paul says that all that stuff that I thought was so important is so much rubbish by comparison to union with Jesus Christ. So I don't know if these reflections make any sense to you. I'm reflecting on my mother and on doctor and on sister. I'm reflecting on the treasure and the pearl of great price, the experience of Heidi Lindias, the experience of Moses being transformed in glory, and our own journey. Apply it to yourselves. What is of greatest value to you? What are you willing to pay for it? Or what is God asking you to give up in order to gain it? Don't let anything get in the way of the pearl of great price.